So we flipped the calendar to a new month today, and I have to ask you, what's the best April Fool's prank you've ever pulled? Perhaps you decorated someone's office, or served somebody a delicious sundae of mashed potatoes and gravy, or how about a caramel onion? Or the ever-popular Oreos with a mystery filling. Cars are easy targets, too, for harmless pranks. This one, can you tell what it's covered with? Colorful Post-it notes. Shrink wrapping is common. Or you could wait for your friend to park in a grocery store parking lot in a secluded spot and surround it with shopping carts. Personally, I favor the Blair horn duct taped to the wall behind the door. Or under the seat works well too. Yes, people will joke about almost anything, even about things that they should not joke about. If there's one thing we should never joke about or take lightly, it's the work of Jesus. But that doesn't stop a lot of very thoughtless people from making fun of their Savior and His work. I've always thought that the most cruel of April Fool's jokes would be if Jesus would tell us on Judgment Day that the whole story about salvation for us sinners is simply not true. Like, if he were to say, that stuff about you being promised the gift of eternal life, that was just a joke. Just kidding. Instead of going to heaven, you will now all be sent to hell for eternity. But God does not play jokes. He does not want us to have any doubt about our salvation. He wants us to have faith. We can believe in the salvation He has given us as strongly as we believe we exist at all. He does not mess with our minds. And that's especially appropriate for us during Lent. We see this time as the fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy when the perfect Lamb, Jesus, submitted to the Roman authorities, suffered the pangs of death, and finally rose gloriously on the third day. A lot of people make fun of it, and they joke about it, but it's no joke. We can depend on that. What He did for all of us is very real. There's a man down in Amarillo, Texas, down in the panhandle, that has it all figured out. He constructed quite a nice tribute that does honor to the life and death of our Savior. It's along a very busy highway in Texas, and he sculpted these scenes from metal. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper by breaking bread in the upper room. He was captured in the garden. He appeared before Pilate. He was forced to carry the cross, and so on. And finally, after stumbling under its weight, Simon of Cyrene was compelled to help with the burden. Jesus committed no crime, and yet he was crucified. And he was placed between two criminals, and he was laid in a tomb. Jesus had no servants, and yet they called him Master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicine, yet he healed the sick, cured the blind, and even raised the dead. It looks like a very nice tribute to our Lord. Check it out sometime down in Amarillo. Meanwhile, we are in Lent, and next week we observe Maundy Thursday. Four major things happened on Maundy Thursday. On Maundy Thursday, our Lord instituted Holy Communion. And secondly, He washed the disciples' feet. And then He went to the garden to pray, where He was finally betrayed and arrested. The word mondi is very applicable to all of us. It focuses on the second of those four events, the washing of the feet. The special meaning of the word mondi is illustrated in the washing of the feet, and Jesus set the perfect example. We read from John's Gospel. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then later it says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And here's where that word mondi comes in when he adds, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That word mondi is derived from the Latin word for command. The mondi in Maundy Thursday refers to that command that Jesus gave his disciples at the Last Supper. And what a great lesson for his disciples. Instead of being told to repay Jesus by washing Jesus' feet, they were to repay him by loving one another. That's what they're instructed to do. Love one another. Wash each other's feet. And I think Jesus would say that every day is Maundy Thursday for Christians. We heard a beautiful example of that a couple nights ago, didn't we, at the Tour Choir concert Sunday? That harmonious ministry that the choir provided is, in a way, washing our feet. And later in this month, God willing, you will all get the opportunity to serve your fellow Christians by helping to beautify our campus on Arbor Day. Just many examples of how we can serve each other and wash each other's feet. So what about today, though? What can you do to wash one another's feet today? And what about tomorrow? It's a good thing to remember the Last Supper and the washing of feet and Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. It's a good thing to remember the Lord's example of humility and servitude. It's a good thing to remember the mandi, or the command of our Savior, to love one another in Christian love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Let's pray. May we all thy loved ones be, all one holy family, loving for the love of thee. Hear us, holy Jesus. Amen. That is a hymn verse included in the hymn we are about to sing.